Well, welcome back. Hi, this is William F. DeVault, the romantic poet of the internet, coming to you under the auspices of cityoflegends.com. And this is From Out of the City, our weekly get-together to discuss and listen to poetry. It's April 7th. We're a week into National Poetry Month. And I had the strangest occurrence the other evening. Those of you who follow my books know that in recent times I dropped two of my books. And I considered that the end of it, the two books I dropped were From an Unexpected Quarter and Love Gods of a Forgotten Religion. Well, a Barnes & Noble that had asked me to come in to do a signing during National Poetry Month ordered two of my books. They ordered The Complete Panther Cycles, the big black volume, and 101 Great Love Poems, the little white volume that happens to be my best-selling book, largely because it's just got a great title for a book of poetry. Well, I show up for an advance meeting with the CRM, and it turns out she'd ordered three books. Complete Panther Cycles, 101 Great Love Poems, and a rather large stack of From an Unexpected Quarter, a book I wasn't really expecting to ever see again. And being the not superstitious sort, but rather fate-ridden sort, I decided that maybe I better at least tip my hat to this book. For those of you unfamiliar with the book From an Unexpected Quarter, it arose through a rather strange path. Soon after the publication of my first book, Pantheon, I was approached by a gentleman by the name of Bradley, who was one of the co-founders or co-operators of the Writers Club on America Online, which at one time was the place to be if you were a writer online. And he told me that they were getting ready to start their own press and wanted to know if I would be interested, if I had a manuscript available for them to do as their first poetry book. They were going to put out three books, a juvenile, a novel, and a poetry book. And I assented, and we put out a book called From Out of the City. Long story short, too late, a few months later, they were bought out by iUniverse, who contacted me and said, "We love your book, we want to keep you, but your book's too short. It needs to be a little longer for our standards." Well, if you've ever dealt with me on an editorial level, you know that I basically execute anybody who asks me to touch my books. But in this case, I seized upon an opportunity, because I'd never been 1,000% happy with From Out of the City. And I said, "Well, so you want me to add some more poems?" They said, "Yes." I said, "How many more?" They said, "However many you want." So I added about 100. I said then, "Well, can I change the cover? Because I don't really like the cover." And they said, "Sure." So I got my then wife, who was a model, to allow me to use a photo of her on the cover, dedicated the book to her. And then I said, "Hey, can we change the name of the book?" And they were like, "What?" I said, "No, trust me." So I changed the name of the book, since it was really substantially different from the earlier one, to From an Unexpected Quarter. Well, largely on the virtue of the fact that it's quite large for a poetry book, and it's got a very pretty cover, it sold pretty well. And I remember one night when I did a reading in one town, I brought a case of just about every book I've ever done, and the only one that completely sold out was this one, and it went like hotcakes. Now, part of that was probably because she was there to autograph it as well as I, but nonetheless, sex sells, let's face it. There's some excellent works in this book. There's some that I'm not particularly thrilled with. That's the nature of the beast. I've never had a book that I've been 1,000% happy with. And I'd never noticed before just how often I say 1,000%. But what I would like to do tonight is give you four poems out of this book. And rather than give you a full Whitman sampler of it, I'm going to single out four poems by stylistic definition. And these are the four sonnets that appear in this collection of about 200 works. So, with your indulgence, I would like to get the show rolling. The first piece is entitled Indigo Stars. I live on the grace of the razor of your desire,
fed into the fire, I live for your purpose alone. Fulfilled only in your joy, blinded to the dawn's fire by the brilliance of your beauty. My duty to atone for wasted offerings set before false idols when I reasoned as a child of the flesh, not a man whose spirit had grasped the currents of the coming winds. The stillborn sky no longer curved over me, so that I would need to fear it. For Atlas achieves the apogee of bright Apollo with a fist that rends the firmament and draws the twilight out of her bedchambers to dance in the sands of sleep. Slow may be her footsteps, but certain. She dances to the light, and I will hold Apollo to his promised performance as the night light at twilight, when and where lovers dare dance.
Yes, all my basic trademarks are there. The allusions to classic mythology, the intensity of the language combined with references to fire and pain and idols. Definitely not a poem about bunnies or kitty cats. I noticed that this is one of the few poems where I reference the same mythic deity in one poem. Apollo gets in there twice. So that was interesting for me when I went back and read it, having not read it in some time. Next up, we have a sonnet called Watching You Sleep. Now, Watching You Sleep links in very nicely with the Damascus series of poems, which do appear in this volume as well. And I'm slowly reconsidering having pulled this volume from release, but we'll see what happens down the road. Again, there is mention of mythological allusions, mythological figures and deities, but there's also a great deal of Judeo-Christian reference in here. And that's where it kind of portends the Damascus series. And again, the name of this piece is Sonnet, Watching You Sleep. Rest, and know you well that this world, in all truth, pirouettes in gentle accord with the designs of the Creator. I have found my path beside you. My pride in you forgets the pain of a thousand follies, solaced forevermore by the sense of being part of a synergy set like rubies and sapphires in an endless ring of silver, spun around to face Janus wherever he faces, met with a smile and a wink and a nod and a cool river of hope that you have struck from my heart in the hard desert where so many meet prophetic, pathetic destinies, lost in the angry light of the human experiment while praying for a still, small voice on the new morning's breeze that points us to the Holy Land within us, Damascus on the road to Rome, at peace with whatever awaits us. Now in this piece, you can see where this is framed in the relationship, and it portends the Damascus cycle because of the reference of Damascus on the road to Rome. For those of you who skipped Bible school, skipped Sunday school, St. Paul was originally Saul of Tarsus, a hired assassin who pursued Christians. On the road to Damascus, he was confronted by God, or by Jesus, depending upon how you play the story, and converted. And in the end, after a great season of serving as an evangelist and writer of the majority of the New Testament, he demanded, when he was being tried for heresy, his right as a Roman citizen to a trial in Rome and before Caesar. Well, the problem with that is if you got a trial before Caesar, as I understand it, if you lost your trial, you were executed. And so rather than just getting a slap on the wrist or another short sentence in a dank jail cell, he got his chance to preach the gospel before the Senate and before Caesar himself, and then was executed. So he fulfilled a very grave destiny. And we must recognize in all our relationships, when we call that ultimatum, when we take it as far as we can go, there is always a chance it will end badly, and we've all been there, including myself. Third up among the sonnets in From an Unexpected Quarter is Lost Destinies. Now, Lost Destinies, if you see the book, plays out one of the problems I had with my publisher at the time, and that was the fact that since I write with such long words and with long meter, unless they take great care, they end up word-wrapping my lines, and poetry doesn't look right word-wrapped, I'm sorry. And this poem has a couple lines that got that way. So I was a little aggravated at them. But anyway, here is my sonnet, Lost Destinies, from an Unexpected Quarter. Soulless shades my sorrowed soul from the night chill, but I am, nonetheless, inconsolable, lost to the water's flow across a sea of sand, windswept and forgotten. Moments fill the aching hour with nothing but the silt of things I know are lost to me forevermore, a delta forms of worded wisdoms that lay fertile ground for a nest of dreams, urgent and verdant. Time spindles on, a dervish in the darkness of a nightshade kingdom of good intentions, laid bare against the cold stone of the arrogant pleas of the prophets of Baal. Fire from heaven notwithstanding, the test of truth is both immediate and yet to be proved to those who know their measure of success, their idols undemanding of anything but the folly of the avatar that random chance chose from amid the miasma of marked men and wondering women caught on the barbs of our barbarity. A cause for a battle yet unfought. I should say something about that poem, but to be honest, I'm still thinking about that one, even though I wrote it about 8 years ago. And finally, from this volume, we have the sonnet entitled Touch. And this one, rather than portending Damascus, actually seems, years before, to portend some of the more touchy-feely works in the Pink Jade series. Interesting, because this poem was written more than half a decade before that muse entered my life. Again, the name of this sonnet is Touch. Lotions, fragrant and smooth, ripened with the soft touch of hands that cup and curl and climb and trace the lines defined by your warm flesh, bending to the caress as I smooth and soothe to prove the aches I remove, transitory and out of scope and scale to such as we, the wanderers in a wilderness, minds surrendered to the hearts, surrendered now to bless the union of frail destinies, woven to prove the strength of amalgam metals, sling for crutch, bartered as we mend and blend and defend divine vision to be transmitted as we dare profess emotions both immense and immortal, and move our senses beyond the reach of fading shadow, creating purged, merged hearts for tomorrow. So there you have it, 4 sonnets from the book From an Unexpected Quarter, a book that I've announced has been withdrawn from production. I may yet relent and bring it back. It's quite a nice book. Again, there's some flaws to it, but there's flaws to every book, every volume. You can't find me one that doesn't, and I don't mean just by me. If you happen to be in the area of Morgantown, West Virginia, or can make it there on the 22nd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll be at the Barnes & Noble, and I'll be signing copies of that book and The Complete Panther Cycles and 101 Great Love Poems. And I think they're going to force me to read, which is just fine. Just be prepared, because when I read on a regular basis, I'm fairly mellow. But when I read only on occasion, I tend to bring it. And I feel like bringing it this time. So don't expect Captain Happy to show up. It's going to be Uncle Grumpy. Or at least Uncle Passionate. So again, thank you very much for stopping by this week to From Out of the City. And I'll see you next week, okay? Take care. This is William F. DeVault, the romantic poet of the internet. And this is From Out of the City.